Welcome to Cinema Savants. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele, and we've got a plethora of news for you, including some death stuff. But that's okay. It's, for the most part, good death stuff. How often do you hear that, right? But we'll start with the... I don't know if this is bad death stuff or good death stuff. I'll let you be the judge on this one. Okay. Samsung. Yeah, this is still movie news. Give me a minute. Samsung has announced they are no longer going to make any Blu-ray or 4K Blu-ray players again. They're just stopping because they've got a new deal streaming with Apple. And in the same article, this kind of surprised me. It turns out that Samsung made more Blu-ray players than anyone else because apparently, it's Sony's technology, but Sony only made 31% of them. Samsung made 39%. And everyone else divvies up the rest of it. And this is being considered the death of the Blu-ray, which I think is a bit sad because I like the idea of owning something physical.
Yeah, I think it's a bit premature, but it's certainly the first step towards the grave when the biggest manufacturer says, we're not making these anymore. So, and I agree with you because, I mean, I've got a couple hundred movies, digital versions, but just because Amazon is the biggest retailer on the planet and Vudu, which is owned by Walmart, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not going to go away eventually. Or that for some reason they'll decide to, oh, we know you paid for this, but you don't really own it because you don't. So, you know, that's highly unlikely, but it's still possible. And actually having it in your hands, like you said, it's not going to go away. So... yeah, that is a little scary, but I don't know if there'd be any possibility for a new physical format to replace it.
But more it comes on a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm. Point: why would there be a physical replacement when everyone is streaming and everyone is using digital? So,
I think there needs to be because remember there was that story a few months ago of the guy who moved to Canada and all of a sudden he can't get his movies anymore.
Exactly. I think it's going to be more likely that there won't be a physical replacement down the line, but it'll be a change in the agreements, and maybe even some government will step in and say, listen, I mean, if you're saying they own this, they need to own this. And regardless, you know, there needs to be some system guaranteeing that they belong. These films or whatever you're storing digitally in your cloud, they really do belong to you. And if something happens to that company, you're still going to wind up with them. So. Anyway,
I'm still kind of leery of the whole streaming process. I'm an IT guy, but, you know, I mean, if the net goes down, oh dear, I can't, you know, I can't turn around and grab, I'll watch this disc since I don't have the net right now. You know, the disc is gone. I'm keeping my discs. Thank you.
And you download a lot of the stuff that you own digitally, and legally download. And I haven't done enough of that. And maybe that will be, you know, something that, okay, if you sign up for Vudu or Amazon Prime or whatever, it's like part of the deal is they'll send you this media server and automatically everything you get, it gets downloaded to that. And then you do have it physically and it doesn't have to be connected to the net and whatever. But that's the long way of saying, yeah, that kind of sucks that Blu-ray might be going away. And eventually, of course, eventually it will. But I mean, people are still buying DVDs.
Yeah, I mean, people are still buying vinyl. I don't get that. I don't care. I mean, I know there's a resurgence of it. That's something that has made so little sense to me.
Well, Lee will probably call in from his flooded home and argue with you about that right now. But still.
I had to buy my kids a record player. Now, granted, I inherited a bunch of vinyl from like my grandparents, and my kids are into the whole show tunes, classical music stuff, and I don't mind the old jazz. I got a bunch of Sinatra stuff. I get that, but
there you go.
Here's the new Miley Cyrus album, and then, Dad, there's a scratch on my record. What the hell? No. That's just wrong.
The joys of old technology. Are you going to get them a rotary princess phone too? You should.
I'm actually, my two older kids want rotary phones. I'm like, no, you don't. But the thing is, if you find them, they're expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. What you actually need is the phone without a dial where you have to have Sarah you know, connect you. So
yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That'd be great.
Anyway, so moving on from dying technology and dead technology to something that's not even out yet, technically, Marvel, because Marvel does something every week, whether we want them to or not, screened the first Captain Marvel stuff. And that, I mean, that movie's coming up. It's next month, but they screened it and the press looked at it and I have not seen anything negative.
I haven't either.
Except from the trolls.
Yes.
Who have gotten on, what is it? Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, this movie is horrible. I'm like, how does Rotten Tomatoes not have a filter that says this film is not accepting reviews because it's not out yet?
Exactly. Exactly right. That was my first thought. Is like, until the movie hits general release, I'm sorry, even if you manage to go to a sneak preview, we're not accepting reviews. It's ridiculous.
I don't care if you are Gene Siskel. No.
Speaking of dead, one of the comments was that no way Captain Marvel is stronger than Thor. It's like, okay, I understand your butt hurt, little boy, whether you're 15 or 55. But does that have anything to do with the movie? No, it doesn't.
No.
So it's so obvious. It's just, you know, these are all official members of the Woman Haters Club. And God, I'm so sick of this crap. Is artificially trying to depress reviews. They did the same thing with Black Panther. They did the same thing with virtually every freaking recent Star Wars movie, which in some cases
that might have been deserved.
Yeah, exactly. In some cases, it might have been closer to the truth, but they were posting this before they saw the damn movie, or they eventually got around to seeing it and went overboard with their comments of it. It's like, you're not going to affect the box office. You didn't affect the box office for Black Panther. You're not going to affect the box office for Captain Marvel.
Actually, it's kind of worrying. We don't actually know if they affected the box office. Can you imagine what happens if they had, how much money Black Panther would have made if they did affect the box? Ooh.
Although probably, I think for the most part, people who would listen to reviews of a movie that negative before the movie comes out, weren't going to go, there was no chance they were going to go see it anyway. So
I mean, it's not like they looked at the trailer and went, oh, it's Happy Time Murders. You know, that's a bit different. If you can look at the trailer and go, no, that movie's going to be absolute crap. Mm-hmm. Black Panther looked good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a world of difference between, and if someone posts something on Rotten Tomatoes and says, I haven't seen this yet, but oh my God, the trailer looks terrible. That's an entirely different thing because that's an honest opinion. That's fine.
Actually, I mean, speaking of something like that, there was a list done this week on, I think it was one of the what culture lists, which are usually pretty funny, about the worst CG in a movie. And number three on that list was Will Smith as the genie in Aladdin.
Wow.
Already, because they said, yes, we know the movie's not out yet, but my God, have you looked at this trailer?
Again, to our point, it's like when you make it clear you're talking about a trailer, and you're allowing that the trailer and the finished product can be different, which they do, absolutely fair game. I don't think it looks that bad, but they hate it, and I know you hate it. So
I did. I'm looking at it from a technical aspect and going, no.
We'll see how it all plays out.
We'll find out. Speaking of other things that are on their way, Kevin Feige, and yes, I am pronouncing it right because I called Marvel and I asked them, made an announcement about the Black Widow movie, which I thought was interesting because right now they're saying it could be the first Disney R-rated movie. And Kevin Feige said, it's not R-rated. It never has been. That's a rumor. No.
Yeah.
It could be, but it's not going to be. So
there's no reason for it to be.
Death of that rumor. Although Gwyneth Paltrow did announce she's going to retire the Pepper Potts character as a main character. She's open to cameos.
Exactly. So all the conjecture that, oh no, this means that Iron Man is dead. It's like, it doesn't mean anything except that as she said, she's 46 and she's really thinking she's past wearing the costumes and stuff. But when she mentioned that, then that says, oh, she probably is suiting up. She didn't say costume.
She's Iron Woman. Yeah.
So it does sound like she's going to be coming in as rescue, which is like, only been rumored for, God, almost a decade at this point. So
pretty much.
Back to Black Widow, though. It sounds like there's a really good chance that it will be the May 2020 release, because they're only filming two this year. And Black Widow seems much more likely than the Eternals to lead off the show.
Yeah, Eternals is going to require a heavy exactly. special effects. And Black Widow, I think, is going to be more practical effects.
Yeah, much more grounded, like the Captain America movies. So yeah.
Actually, I think it would be even less than the Captain America, because Captain America had the, what are they called? The Quinjets, which mm-hmm. were not there. And the big building that was not there.
Right. Well, you know, there could certainly be a lot of that with Black Widow, but it's not the Eternals, that's right. for sure. So I'm just happy that they're doing it before Johansson winds up in a rest home. So
she's not that old.
No, she's not that old at all.
But yeah, they are dragging their feet a bit.
Yeah, they should have done this like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. So thank God they're finally getting around to it.
Something they're not getting around to. And look, it's more death out of Marvel. They finally got around to canceling The Punisher and Jessica Jones at Netflix. Although they are releasing Jessica Jones season 3 at some point.
It's so weird that they made the announcement on Jessica Jones before it even came. I guess they just figured, listen, everybody knows, so let's just go ahead and say it. But it's still really odd that you announce you're canceling the show before the final season even comes out. Jeez.
Which is a bit odd, but
it's harsh.
Actually, two more bits about that, and then we'll move on from Marvel. One, Mike Coulter, who was Luke Cage in the previously uncanceled Netflix series, is now on, he's got a new show on CBS called Evil. I know very little about it other than he's the main guy in it.
I had not heard about that. That's cool. Now, is this CBS, or is this CBS All Access?
This seems to be regular, straight-up broadcast CBS.
For him. Way to go, Mike Coulter. That's excellent.
Cool for him. And the other bit, it comes out of Disney, who announced, and I kind of understand why they're doing this, and I like the idea. It concerns the Disney Plus streaming service and their other streaming service that they own a majority of, Hulu. Disney Plus is going to contain all of the family-friendly movies and shows, and the non-family-friendly material is going to go to Hulu.
There we go.
So we could get Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Punisher back from the limbo they're in now and released on Hulu, but they would not be on Disney Plus, where you're gonna have the mainstream Marvel movies still. And the Star Wars stuff and Mickey Mouse and Goofy and all the other Disney kids stuff, but that's on Disney Plus. If it's an adult, more adult oriented, no, I don't mean porn material, that would be coming out on Hulu, which I think is a great idea.
That is an excellent idea. Absolutely excellent. I don't know if you saw this, since we're staying still on Marvel. Did you see the Altered Carbon news?
No.
Okay, let me throw this in quickly before we move away from from Marvel. So, not that Altered Carbon is a Marvel property, but it is a pretty damn good science fiction, science fiction
series.
Series, thank you. That's the word I was looking for, series, something we never say.
On so.
And the initial season was last year, and it was very, very good. Starred Joel Kinnaman, who was in a DC property, Suicide Squad. But the basis is these are about mercenaries in the distant future, and they take different bodies because sometimes the bodies get destroyed, which leads to really interesting things because you're not sure who is who, because you don't know if that's really that person inside that body that you know. Anyway, season 2, they knew they were going with a new lead actor, and everyone's kind of like, Joel Kinnaman was really great, but that's okay because it fits the story. I'm super happy because Anthony Mackie is playing the lead in Altered Carbon season 2, which is awesome because I love Anthony Mackie. And another little bit of a tie-in, Misty Knight from Luke Cage, Simone Messick. She is the other lead. So awesome, awesome news about Altered Carbon.
I will agree.
See it, but that's just so, so good. As far as I'm concerned, Anthony Mackie should not get a day off He should be filming constantly. He's just so damn good. Anyway, so Altered Carbon, when that eventually does show up, it's going to have kind of a subtext of Marvel tie-ins, which is great. So
as opposed to the DC tie-ins, which it previously had, which leads us to Armie Hammer.
Yes, yes.
See, who announced, he announced this week, I'm not going to be Batman.
Thank you.
And the world heaves a collective sigh of relief.
Yes. I mean, I have seen him in one thing that I liked him in a lot, but I've seen him in so many things where it's like, oh my God, how does this guy have? He is the anti Anthony Mackie. He should not be working. Not the there are worse actors, to be sure. There are many, many worse actors, and we'll probably talk about some of them later. But yeah, I'm really happy that he's not Batman. Thank you.
And now it sounds now bear with me on this one, because it sounds like I'm going back to Marvel, but I'm not. It has to do with Chris Hemsworth, who plays Tho in the Marvel movies.
Yes.
He's going to be playing Hulk. I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it's going to be a bit weird.
It's going to be really weird.
Because it's not Bruce Banner, the big green guy with anger issues. He's going to be playing Hulk Hogan in a biopic of the wrestler. Which brings me to two special notes for this. One, the Iron Sheik, whose real name has escaped me, but he was real big in wrestling when Hogan was, yes, has says he wants to play himself.
Of course he does.
Which, don't panic, that's not going to happen. But, no. Ladies, let's think about this. If this goes through the Hulk Hogan storyline, through the entire sex scandal where there's a videotape of Hulk Hogan having sex, think about this. Yeah. That means we're going to get to see Chris Hemsworth in a full naked sex scene, 50 shades of big yellow ripped off shirt. Mm-hmm. See, this could be a good idea.
I think this is a really good idea. I'm curious as to, is this going to be, I assume it's going to be at least a comedy drama, if not just a straight comedy. I hope at least it's a comedy drama, because otherwise, why did you cast Chris Hemsworth? Because he's a great comedic actor. And obviously, he's a fine dramatic actor as well. But, and the whole subject matter, I mean, pro wrestling, it lends itself to at least a comedy drama.
That would be a comma, right?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Is Hemsworth going to bulk up even more to play Hogan? I mean, is he going to try to be that big?
There is a picture of Hemsworth lifting weights, and he looks bigger than he did in Thor.
Okay, well, then he's going for it. All right,
which is terrifying, really.
Yeah, it is terrifying. I wonder if he'll be able to get up to the 28 4-inch pythons. He might. He can't be that far from it as it is. But I love the casting. I'm just not sure about the movie, because the movie could be terrible, even though Hemsworth is in it. God, I don't know. I'll definitely be watching it, though.
I have to throw this in because I saw it this week, and it ties into movies and wrestling. And I just want to send a note to the guys who do Ring of Honor wrestling. Now, if you don't know Ring of Honor, it's kind of a competitor to the WWE. They don't have as much production value because they actually concentrate on what goes on in the ring and their storylines, which are better on both counts.
Yes.
But they introduced a new guy in their most recent show, which is on, ROHWrestling.com. You can find it there, or it's televised in some areas, just not mine. They introduced a new character whose name, I'll admit, has escaped me. I was laughing too hard. he's based on the Dragon Ball character Goku.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Bear with me. It gets worse. he came to the ring wearing basically the same outfit Goku does in Dragon Ball. That's fine. And apparently he's supposed to be the Super Saiyan version of Goku because he had big yellow hair. Again, that could have been fine.
Yeah.
I have three issues with this. One, if you're going to do this, please teach announcer Ian Riccaboni how to pronounce Saiyan, because he can't do it. Two, if you're going to have a character based on Goku, who is a big, buff fighting character, have someone play him who weighs more than 50 pounds. Cause I've got my 10-year-old is bigger than this guy. He's tragically anorexically skinny. I understand he's fast and agile, and yet, now, just so you know, this was a squash match. They had him teaming up with someone else against two 600-pound guys. It did not go well for him. But my third thing is, if you're going to do the Super Saiyan hair, which is big and spiky and goes everywhere, do it big and yellow and spiky and go everywhere, because he did not look like Goku. He looked like blonde Elvis, and that's wrong. I'm done with my rant now. Back to the movies.
I'm sorry, but I really have to stay with the Hogan move. Because after just a second, I started thinking, because of the Iron Sheik, like, okay, Iron Sheik should be in it. Not the guy, but I mean, someone should play Iron Sheik.
Right.
But I mean, it's like a small scene. But there are two people who are no longer with us who need to be portrayed in this film, absolutely need to be in this film. You need Macho Man.
Yeah.
And you need Bobby the Brain Heenan.
I'm thinking Andre the Giant as well, but yes.
Wow. Yeah. How do you? Well, okay.
Well, actually, get Paul White, who is his actual nephew anyway, and has the same disorder that makes him enormous.
He's about the only person who could possibly do it.
Exactly.
You've got to find someone who makes Hogan Hemsworth look tiny, and he's about the only person who could.
Yeah.
I would love to see Paul Giamatti play Bobby the Brain. Pull it off. It would be fantastic.
That would work.
Or get Paul Heyman, which they won't do, but oh my God, that would be insane. But Macho Man, I just don't know. I mean, my first thought was Sebastian Stan. Let's stay with Marvel. But because he's got to be a little bit smaller, you know, than Hemsworth, and he is. But I mean, there are a lot of buff, good actors out there who could play it. But I really want Paul Giamatti to play Bobby the Brain. I think he would love it. Now, anyway.
Two other names that are attached to this are Bradley Cooper, who maybe, I guess, I'm not sure as who, and allegedly.
That's very interesting. I haven't heard that.
And this one, I'm not sure about Eric Bischoff himself.
God, no.
Which I think was the death knell of WCW anyway. Anyway, we need to get back to movies, because I know we've lost several people with it. How about we come back to a big, massive franchise like Bond? Which has a bit of news.
Bradley Cooper, 6'1", and he could be Macho Man. Anyway, yes, Bond.
Bond. there is now a working title for the 25th Bond movie. It's allegedly being called Shatterhand, which was also already had tie-ins, because that was the working title for Tomorrow Never Dies, which didn't happen. And in the novel, You Only Live Twice, that was Blofeld's alias, which that sounds like a, I'm sorry, Blofeld sounds more like an 80 alias. Oh, Mr. Shatterhand, we've got your room ready. What? No, you can't have that as an alias. That anyway, they're also looking at getting, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name. It's not going to come out right. Lupita Nyong'o. Who I'm talking about. They want to get her in this. I'm hoping not as a cheesy Bond girl, though. She's got to be somebody impressive. Because she is.
She is impressive. That's pretty cool.
So anyway, now it's time for the part of the show that I know you turned on to, something like that, one of those words. It's awards season, and we haven't really done a whole lot with it because I don't care about awards. I mean, because they're so important that we're not worthy enough to cover them or something. And actually, we are recording this before the Oscars happen, so bear with us on that. But let's cover the Razzies first.
Yes.
Because they're more fun. And I have an issue with someone who won one of the Razzies. Actually, two people who won the Razzies.
Yes.
I forgot there was one of them. Worst actor and worst supporting actress. bear with me on this.
Yes.
Worst actor was won by Donald Trump for Death of a Nation and Fahrenheit 11/9, and Kellyanne Conway won for Worst Supporting Actress in Fahrenheit 11/9. They both played themselves. My problem with them winning the award with this is they weren't acting.
Yeah.
That's just them.
And I agree with you, but in a sense, Trump is acting. This is all an act. And
I don't know. I think he just is that stupid.
Knows it. But, you know, and the Razzies are just, I mean, they're kind of, obviously, they're just kind of a fun, silly thing.
Oh, very much so.
But and Trump did win twice. Like you said, he also won for worst screen combo.
Oh, which I forgot.
Donald Trump and his self-perpetuating pettiness, which again points out that the Razzies are obviously they're just out there for fun more than anything else. But
although I did like the nomination of any two actors or puppets in the Happy Time Murders as being nominated for worst on-screen combo.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Wow. Goodness. That's good. Yeah, the Razzies, I was shocked by the film that won Worst Picture.
Worst Picture, Worst Supporting Actor, Worst yes. Ripoff.
Worst Remake, Prequel, et cetera, et cetera.
Worst Director.
We're talking about Holmes and Watson, which we've mentioned in the show just because the trailer looked so awful. Although I don't believe either one of us went on Rotten Tomatoes and posted about it.
No.
I didn't either. But
Ted, we told you not to do that.
Ted, we know it was you, Ted. Ted is the person who sabotaged the box office for Holmes and Watson. Yeah, the trailer absolutely made this look like one of the worst pictures ever. And I haven't been able to bring myself to watch it or even the Happy Time Murders. And I almost pulled the trigger three different times yesterday, but I could not bring myself to spend $5 for the show. But I have seen Gotti. And if Holmes and Watson is actually worse than Gotti, I think I might cry. I can see it on one basis, though, because no one has any expectations for a John Travolta movie. I mean, he has so many films that have zeros in Rotten Tomatoes now. It's unbelievable. And Holmes and Watson, not necessarily with that combination of those lead actors and that story, but Sherlock Holmes, typically you're going to reliably get a decent movie out of it, if not a really, really good movie. And typically you're going to get a funny movie from John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. And from the previews and from winning the Razzie, it absolutely did not work. So when you compare the expectations, and again, we talk about expectations all the damn time. I'm tired of it. I can see why Holmes and Watson could have won Worst Picture, even if it isn't actually worse than Gotti, and God save us all if it really is.
Yeah, I noticed the nominees for Worst Picture, Holmes and Watson, Gotti, Happy Times Murders, Robin Hood, and Winchester. Now, of those, I've seen the Robin Hood movie. I didn't think it was a hideous movie. If you know that it doesn't take place on our Earth, it's an alternate Earth thing, that helps. But
and I haven't seen it, but it doesn't look like a hideous. I mean, it doesn't look like one of the worst pictures of the year. I mean, right. A huge misfire, yes, but that's not the nomination. Good God, but Gotti, oh my Lord, what a disaster. Now I really want to watch Holmes and Watson just to see, is it really that terrible? I do want to throw in something about Fahrenheit 11.9 since it won in three categories, or it did win in three categories. Not one of Michael Moore's best efforts. And I like Michael Moore a lot, and I like the three stories that he tells in this, but I wish he had focused on one of the stories. And to me, that's the weakness of it, because it talks about Trump's election. It talks about the Flint water crisis, and it talks about school shootings, all obviously very important topics. And he addresses each one very well. I wish he had just done three movies because they are all somewhat linked, but he doesn't do a good enough job of linking them in the film. Because his theme is that these are all symptoms of an overreaching problem in our society, and it is, and they are. But the Trump story deserved more attention. The Flint water story absolutely deserves more attention. Yeah. School shootings, of course, but he's addressed that before, and it's sad that here he is addressing it again, and probably in another 5 or 6 years, he'll be doing it again. But to me, that was the full-on Fahrenheit 11.9. Again, very good movie, but I wish he had just focused on one subject or done a better job of tying in the three stories, but definitely worth watching. To me, it's not one of his best efforts. So when we get to the Oscars, that same theme will come up. But anyway.
Well, that seems like a good time as any to go over. We'll tie it in together. How about the Melissa McCarthy thing?
Perfect.
Where she won Worst Actress for two movies. But also the Redeemer Award for Can You Forgive Me? which I think is a hint of, I did these two crap movies. Can you forgive me, please? Because I'd like to continue acting if that's what she's really doing. I'm sorry, was that out loud? but she's nominated for an Oscar for that, isn't she?
Yes, she's nominated for Best Actress for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And I've seen her in one film that I liked her in. I mean, she's okay, but I just don't particularly care for her brand of comedy. I don't care for the way she does it, whichever. But in St. Vincent, she was excellent because she wasn't doing her comedic, extremely overdone character. She was playing a real person, and she was very, very good in it. I haven't seen Can You Ever...
Could she be a female Jim Carrey? I'm thinking because a lot of her characters, like Jim Carrey, are over the top, but when he plays something somewhat serious, actually can do a good job.
I suppose. I think Jim Carrey is much funnier than she is. But yeah, as far as that aspect of it, yeah, she could be. Because apparently she's very good in Can You Ever Forgive Me? And I'm not just saying that because she's nominated for an Oscar. I mean, she's gotten great reviews for it. And like I said, in St. Vincent, she was excellent. And a lot of comic actors are excellent dramatic actors as well. So yeah, she could be. I would much rather her do more films like this where she's actually acting instead of just riffing, because obviously a lot of people like that because she makes a lot of money doing those over the top, obnoxious, loud characters. But it's just way too much. So I don't think she's going to win Best Actress. As always, it's a tough field. And from what I've seen, this is the one category that's as close to a lock as anything. And it's not a lock by any means, but everything is so wide open for the Oscars. But Glenn Close looks like she's pretty much locked in as close as it can be for Best Actor.
I mean, I think it's about time she got one.
Right.
So
And that plays into it, too. I mean...
I think it does absolutely.
Where it's like, oh, okay. It's like, you've been around forever. You've never won. This was good. It's your turn. But I haven't seen The Wife. Well, I'm going to be saying that a lot in this show. I haven't seen. But I don't think this is, from what I've read, this is not going to be the sympathy vote. This is just going to be, she was great.
Well, I think if she wins, it's going to play into it. So slightly, whether we wanted to or not. Although I think, you know, from everything I understand about it, because again, I haven't seen The Wife either. She woke up this morning and went in the other room, and I haven't seen her since. The movie. anyway, she does. Has there been anything she hasn't been good in? I mean, she made Cruella de Vil in the live action version.
Yeah.
She made that look good. And how can you possibly make that character,
right,
who is animated a bit crazier than anything they ever did in Dragon Ball? And that's some weird crap. She made that look good live.
Right.
She's an incredible actress.
She is. I mean, because I go back to thinking of The Natural, which is one of my favorite movies. And it's not a Glenn Close type role at all, because it's not, there's not a lot of power to it. And there's not a lot of depth to it, which is usually her wheelhouse. But even in that, she's outstanding because she plays this sweet, charming woman, and she absolutely nails it. And that's
tough. She was good in Hook.
She was. She's an excellent actress. I guess we'll just leave it at that. And if she wins, it's absolutely deserved.
I'll agree. Like I said, we're recording this before they come out. So you'll be able to tell how we did, and you can get back to us on the Cinema Savant's website. Just put a .com at the end of the name. Best Actor.
I'm astounded that Rami Malek has gotten so much blowback, because it seems to be yin or yang. Either he's great or he's terrible. And I'm not at all sure where the terrible comments are coming from. Of course, I've seen him. I saw Christian Bale in Vice, Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born, Viggo Mortensen in Green Book. The one I've missed is Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate. I thought it's hard to compare performances because unless they're playing the same role, right?
Right.
It makes it a little difficult. For me, Bradley Cooper is better in A Star Is Born than Rami was in Bohemian Rhapsody. Viggo Mortensen, I thought he was, I really liked his performance in Green Book, but I don't think he was the best, gave the best performance in the movie. So I don't really see how that would work when your supporting actor was better. And actually, I think Marshall Ali should have been nominated for actor, lead actor too, not just supporting. But anyway, I really think it's going to be Bradley Cooper, because initially I thought Christian Bale, because he absolutely, to me, absolutely nails Dick Cheney. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought he's basically doing the jerk Bruce Wayne character, which we've already seen, where he's obnoxious. He's of course, he's more power hungry. And I'm not saying it's an excellent performance, but I kind of feel like we've seen big pieces of this already. There's a lot of the character from American Psycho in this. And of course, Bale is fantastic. And I guess he should get bonus points for putting on 60 pounds to play Cheney. I'm really torn. I mean, it's a great performance. I'm not knocking it at all, but I don't feel like this is something as new from him. And I think he's actually done better work. If he wins, that'd be great. But I really think, I don't know, just because I haven't seen it, it'll probably be Willem Dafoe. but for me, I would rather see Bradley Cooper win, because I think he did the best work with the role of any of these actors. And again, I mean, I guess the one I downgraded the most is Viggo Mortensen. And if he wins, it's an excellent performance. He's done better work as well. But there's no one nominated here that is like, wow, how did that guy get nominated? I mean, they're all excellent performances. And then this is why the Oscars are so wide open this year, because there are a lot of really good performances, a lot of really good movies.
Which brings us to Best Picture.
In our notes, I said I would rank them in order of how I preferred them. Okay. And I haven't seen a favorite, so the favorite has to be number 8 for me. Although Lee, who isn't here now because he's battling raging floods in Tennessee, and that's not much of a joke because, he's having major problems. He really liked it. I don't think he said it was his favorite film, though. So
I did send him a boat through Amazon.
There we go. The worst nominee out of this, and I really like the movie, to me, is Vice. To me, it's too uneven. There are characters that are too comedic that don't really fit the overall tone. Again, I really, really like the movie, but McKay has done much better work, and so Vice is not going to win. I mean, if Vice won, I would be shocked, because to me, every other movie is better than that. And there are several movies that weren't nominated that are better than Vice. So that's a no. Black Panther. I love Black Panther, but it's a comic book movie. I don't think there's going to be any backlash because it's a quote black film. Moonlight won. So yeah, that is not the case at all. So when Black Panther doesn't win, please don't complain that the Academy is racist. It's like, clearly not with Moonlight having won. As far as not taking a quote comic book movie seriously, that would be the issue, which would be sad because it's an excellent movie. Black Klansman, really good movie, but and this could go into this the thing of, oh, it's his turn kind of thing. But if that happens, I think Spike Lee might possibly win for Best Director. He won't. But Black Klansman is not going to win Best Picture because it just isn't. Is it one of the 8 best movies? I don't even know if it's one of the 8 best movies. It's a really good film, but it is not in the league with some of the other films. Bohemian Rhapsody, way over the top, big movie, but no. We've got 3 movies left. Green Book is the type of movie that the Oscars love to reward. You know, the small personal story, great acting in it. But no.
Oh, sorry.
All we have left is Roma and A Star Is Born. And Roma is the type of movie that they absolutely love to reward because it's an art film. And it's black and white. And I mean, you just go back to The Artist, which won, which a lot of people say, oh, well, how did The Artist win? That's a terrible movie. Which is like, The Artist is an excellent movie. And if you think it's awful, you're wrong. Roma, to me, is not a boring film. A lot of people have said, oh, it's so slow, nothing happens. It's like, a lot of things happen. It's life. It's a slice of life film. Again, the type of movie they like to reward with the Oscars. To me, the only thing holding Roma back is not that it's a foreign language film. It's that it's a Netflix film. And I think there's going to be enough people, just enough people, butthurt about that, that it's not going to win. And I think A Star Is Born is going to win. It's only the fourth time they've done this story. Clearly, they like to do this story. It does have great performances.
I love the description of it earlier that I found earlier this week. It's a once in a generation movie, by which we mean they make it once a generation.
Literally every generation. And to me, this is the best version. I don't care for the Barbara Streisand version at all. I think that was just a huge vanity project, which basically sucks. But the first version is very good. The Judy Garland, James Mason version is excellent. And this one's even better. I think it's an excellent, dramatic, emotional story with music. And they like that too. So I think it's going to wind up being A Star Is Born. And actually, that would be my choice also, would be A Star Is Born, followed by Black Panther. So will I be right? I'm sure I will be wrong in everything that we've said. What do you think is going to win?
Out of these, and who should like to see Bohemian Rhapsody win. Is it going to? No.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised that you just dismissed its chances of winning. Like, I know it's your favorite movie.
Of these, yes. Black Klansman I thought was good. Black Panther I thought was good. The rest of them I didn't see because they're not me. A Star Is Born, I knew about the depressing ending to it. I don't want to go see a depressing movie. Roma, I heard, wasn't even in English. I've heard is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Because I've seen some places that said, oh, we watched it in English. I'm like, I thought it was a foreign language film. What? Green Book, I know, had a good story to it. Again, not my thing. The Favorite, I'm going to admit, I hadn't even heard of until it was nominated. And Vice, frankly, with doing the FWAT show, I've had enough of
politics. Vice is so weird because I had such big expectations for me. And to me, it's just too, because Steve Carell plays Donald Rumsfeld as Michael Scott, basically.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault. That directors tell you what to do. And I was really looking forward to Sam Rockwell as W, and in the trailers, it was great. But I mean, it's the same thing. It's one note, and there's really no depth to either of those characters. And I know this is a comedy, it's a dark comedy, but there's a lot of depth to Chaney's character. And the fact that the other characters, those two characters in particular, don't really match, it just didn't work for me. And again, I really like the movie, but this could have been even better than The Big Short, which I absolutely love. And it just doesn't measure up. Anyway, back to you, Rob.
Well, actually, I was going to wrap up the show by changing the subject entirely off of Oscars, because woo-hoo. I found news of a movie. No, it's not going to win an Oscar. It could win a Razzie, but it's going to have an interesting premise, at least. It's a movie that's coming out. It follows the story of a boy named Harley, who is celebrating his birthday back in the 60s, apparently, by attending the taping of a television show, which is something you used to do. I don't think there's a whole lot of TV shows that are live in front of a studio audience anymore. But the things take an unexpected turn, and the body count rises quickly. I'm like, oh, there's a good description. So yeah, it's a horror movie. Based on the set and using the actual characters of the Banana Splits.
Oh my God.
If you do not know who I'm talking, Todd immediately went there. If you do not know who I'm talking about, look them up.
Yeah.
That actually, did you ever hear the Liz Phair version of that theme song?
Oh my God. No.
look that up. It came out in the 90s. It was actually really good. The banana, I don't even know how to describe the Banana Splits. You've got a lion, a beagle, an elephant, and whatever the orange one was supposed to be. I don't know how to describe this show. It's something it's a Marty Croft thing. Key of the Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And what was the other one? H.R. Puffin Stuff, who I just found out recently. H.R. Puffin Stuff was supposed to be a dragon.
Yeah. He was supposed to be a dragon.
That was a dragon? Question mark?
Banana Splits were as if furries were on LSD and decided to do a comedy show.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. And this was kids. Oh, man, that movie, that show is so...
How much crack does one have to smoke?
Yeah, I don't know if it was before its time or just it's more of something that whose time should never have come. I have a feeling there were a lot of drugs involved, though.
Looking up, came out in the late 60s. I suspect a good number of drugs. Those that didn't make it to Woodstock went to tapings of the Banana Splits because, oh my God, that's where the drugs were.
Anyway, so this movie, Little Harley goes to taping the Banana Splits and murder ensues. Wow.
Yeah. So you see, death wins out in the end of the show, just like it started. We've come full circle, and that seems to be the end of our show. We'll be back on Friday with the reviews of something. I don't even know anymore. I'm too enthralled by the pictures of Beagle and Snork from the Banana Splits article. God, this is weird. You know what? I think all of us, after this particular thing, need to get out and go see a movie. I can't get this image out of my head.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?